Looking forward to that. I'm excited for Advent coming up soon. But right now, we are in Colossians chapter 1. We'll be doing, here in just a minute, we'll be reading verses 9 through 14. And if you remember, before we read the passage, I want us to get our minds acclimated to where we're at in Paul's letter. Okay? So last week, if you remember, we had Aaron come up and he read a little bit longer of a portion of Scripture than we actually went through last week. There's a reason for that, because last week's passage is tied to this week's passage. Paul prays for the Colossians two prayers, if you remember that. Starting in verse 3, going through verse 8, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. He says, I give thanks ever since I've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for his church. I give thanks. You remember? So this is a prayer of thanks last week. And now this week, starting in verse 9, he shifts what the prayer is. And it's no longer a prayer of thanksgiving, but now it's a prayer request. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, Paul's prayer request. So with that being said, if you would stand with me, I'm going to read the passage, and may the word of God speak to his people this morning. This is what the text says, starting in verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. You can be seated. So really the basic idea here, if we were just to kind of wrap up this text and say, okay, what is Paul praying here? It's a prayer request, but what exactly is his prayer request about? What is he desiring? I would say, well, it's really that they would grow in a deeper relationship with God, that they would deepen their love for him and their commitment to him. Now, hear me. This is a prayer that not only the Colossians needed, but you and I need it too. We need it. We really do. Because just like the Colossians, we can easily be content with where we're at, not wanting to grow deeper in our love and commitment to God. We can easily, therefore, grow stagnant in our commitment and growth in God. And this is true just in general and just how people are. I think of myself. I know there are certain areas where I can very easily just grow stagnant. I was telling some people the other day, I dislike it, wouldn't even be a strong enough word. I despise running. I hate it, and it's just, I don't think it's from God, to be honest. And but back in Springfield, I tried to work out fairly regularly, and there's certain ways that I would work out that swimming was okay. But running, it wasn't worth it, what I got out of it most of the time. And so, but I tried, just last week, I think I told my wife, Sarah, I said, okay, I'm going to get back into running. I'm going to start running. She just kind of chuckled and she said, yeah, okay. All right. She knew. I mean, this has happened so many times. And so I get on my running gear, right? I put on my tennis shoes. They look brand new. They're old. And I start running. I make it like a mile, maybe a mile and a half. And I get back, and I just lay on the living room floor, and I'm like, I'm never doing that again. I hate it. And she goes, I thought you wanted to just, like, work out and get back in better shape. You know what my response was, yeah, it's good enough. I'm fine. It's good enough. We just have a general tendency as humans to have a good enough mentality where we're content, and we can grow stagnant because we're like, it's good enough. I'm fine. So it can be with our walk with God. And that's why the Colossians here, they needed Paul's prayer for them. And we do too. That we would grow and deepen our love for God and our commitment for Him, because they needed it and we need it, because all of us in humanity can grow stagnant and content. But I want to read a quote from the great English Puritan, J.C. Ryle. He says, "A man who professes to be a true Christian, while he sits still, content, with a very low degree of sanctification, is a very pitiable sight and a very ignorant man." Would you just hear those words? Because I think it's true. I think it's true. So for anyone wanting to grow in their love for God, and if you noticed, all the songs that Debbie just led us in had to do with wanting to be a holier and a good demonstration to the world looking at us. This, when they look at us, they see His likeness, that we would become a sanctuary, holy, and set apart for Him. So all the songs were really pointing us ready for this text to talk about how we can deepen and make that a reality, that we would be holier for God. Anyone wanting to grow in their holiness and commitment to God, I think that we could hear this one sentence of advice summing up what this text is about, and this is it. Know God better to live for Him more. That really is what Paul is praying for when it comes to these Colossians, and for us as well. He was praying that they would know God better so that they would live for God more. Very simple. One sentence. Summation right there. Know God better to live for Him more. This is Paul's train of thought as he prays for the Colossians. If they would just know God better, if they would just deepen in their understanding of His majesty and His grandeur and His holiness, if they would just know God better, His splendor and His character, if they would just know Him and deepen their knowledge in Him, the deeper they would go in knowing Him and seeing Him, I would just propel them to live for Him more. When you see His majesty, when you see His splendor, when you see His just awe-inspiring holiness, that would just drive us to live for Him more. And so that should be your and I's aspirations today. So for the rest of this time, let's look at really this sentence in two parts. First, knowing God better, and then what that leads to, living for Him more. Okay, we're going to look at this sentence as it really, I think, summarizes this passage in Colossians 1, 9 through 14. First, Paul prays that they would know God better. If we go back to the text, it says, "And so from the day that we've heard, we have not ceased to pray for you," or ceased to pray for you, yes, ceased to pray for you, there we go, "asking that," what? "Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual understanding." Wisdom and understanding. So Paul is praying first that they would know God better. They would deepen in His understanding Him. But specifically, notice this. He's asking that they may be filled with a knowledge of His will. His will. What does it mean to know God's will? I mean, this is such a mysterious thing. Isn't it? We can't know all of it. So what does it mean when he says, I'm asking God that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. How could we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, this mysterious thing? Well, I think we can have a decent understanding of what that means when we go to Colossians chapter 2. We'll be looking at that in greater depth in a few weeks, but right now, let me read this. He says in Colossians 2, verse 2, "Their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So Christ is really the center point of the mysteries of God, and in Christ are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if we go back to the text that we're actually at today, when he's praying that they would be filled with this mysterious thing of His will, and that they would deepen the spiritual wisdom and understanding, I think it's safe to say that Paul's praying that really they would get to know Jesus better. They would deepen in their understanding of Christ and who He is. And so if Jesus is at the center of the mysteries of God, What does it mean to know God's will better? Track with me here. Paul's praying that they would deepen understanding God's will, and we know the will is really centered around Jesus. How can we deepen in our understanding of God's will? Well, it wouldn't be that we would understand all the details of our life and how everything's going to play out. I don't think that's what Paul's saying. Paul isn't praying that they would know what's around every corner of life. No, he's praying that they would know Christ better and his character and what he did on the cross, his plan for redemption and salvation, that they would know the person and the works of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm praying first that you may be filled with the knowledge of Jesus, God's will for your life, what he did on the cross, his plan of salvation for you. And you would have deep spiritual wisdom and understanding of that. So, this is the first step to spiritual growth, knowing the person of God better, knowing Christ better. So I want you to hear that, because the person, and I want to speak to you directly. If you are feeling stagnant this morning and you're feeling like you're in a rut, okay, maybe that's you. Tune in, because I want to speak directly to you. If you feel like you're spiritually stagnant, you're not seeing any change, any growth, and you want to grow in your holiness, you want to get out of that rut, I want to tell you, it does not start with finding an accountability partner. That's not the first step. The first step isn't all these different practical strategies that you can implement into your life. Your first step would be getting on your hands and knees, opening the Word of God, and getting to know who your Creator is. That's the very first step when it comes to growing in your understanding of who God is, to where you could propel and live for Him more. I want you to hear that, because so many times we just jump to saying, okay, how can I fix this? I've got a problem here. I'm struggling with sin. Got me all wrapped up. It's enchained me. And we come up with 5 or 6 different strategies to kill that sin in our life. And I'm not saying these strategies are bad. We're going to get to practical stuff here in just a minute to live for Him more. But it doesn't start with the strategies. You see, it doesn't start with the practical implementing of what you can do to kill the sin. It starts with saying, I need to know God better. When I see His majesty, when I see His glory, when I see His holiness, I say, man, I want to live for you even more than I did yesterday, because I see your greatness and how much you deserve it. It's got to start with knowing God. Your first step is not a practical one, it's an intellectual one. You have to know God to mirror God. You hear that? You have to know God in order to mirror Him. We want to be holy. We want to mirror God. But if you don't know what God looks like, how are we going to mirror Him? I'll tell you a funny story. I used to lead youth retreats every year, the church I came from, to be honest, actually, the part I was worst at was coming up with the games. I'm just not a very, I don't know, fun. That sounds bad. But I was bad at coming up with games, fun games. And so I always delegated that to somebody else to come up with the cool, fun stuff for the youth. But one year, one of my leaders came up with blind dodgeball. I don't know if you've played dodgeball anytime recently. Dodgeball is hard enough for a lot of teenagers. You try to hit the person 5 feet away, and you just throw it at the floor because you tried to throw it so hard that it just goes down. So dodgeball in general can be difficult, but put a blindfold on somebody and see how hard it is for them to hit somebody with a ball. And to make it even better, your whole team is, we would be like one-on-one dodgeball, and your whole team would be like surrounding you, cheering you on, telling you, no left, no right, further up, no, you're looking down, you know, and they're just telling them, trying to be their eyes, right? And they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't hit the target there. I think about that because that can be a lot of us when it comes to our trying to be holy and our trying to kill sin, our trying to look like God. We're trying to hit a mark with a blindfold on because we don't know what God even looks like for us to even mirror Him. If you want to grow in your holiness, if you want to hit the mark, so to speak, it starts with not practical steps. It starts with taking the blindfold off and saying, I need to see the greatest example of holiness. I need to know him. And then I can live for him more. But first, it starts with knowing him. So that's the first step that we see here in Paul's prayer. He asks, praying for them that they may be filled with the knowledge of God, his will, and all spiritual understanding. Why? To live for him more. Go back to the text. That's his prayer. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I pray that you would know him better, that you would grow in your understanding, deepen in your knowledge, so to walk in him more. So to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Learning more of who God is and what his word claims always brings a response to people. Do you know that? Anybody, doesn't matter who you are, anybody, every single person on this planet, if they're confronted with what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ, everybody will respond to it. Everybody responds to it. Chan Kilgore said, true gospel preaching always changes the heart. It either awakens it or it hardens it. Everybody responds to the gospel when they hear about who Jesus Christ is. Everybody responds. Either you hate it and you despise it, or you say, wow, that woke up something in my soul. Everybody responds to it. I pray that this morning you, speaking to you directly, I pray that you would hear what we have to say about the holiest one, the holiest being, the greatest, most majestic one, God. Pray when you hear about that, you would not be offended, you'd be not put off or angry or defensive of what his word has to say, but that you would accept it, you would be humbled by it, your heart would be softened, you would be amazed, and you would be refreshed by his word. So that you would live for him more. So that you would live for him more. That's Paul's prayer. From the day that we've heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be made filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And what's it? He gives us four ways that looks in our lives, four ways that really presents itself, fully pleasing to him. First one, bearing fruit in every good work. So if you're going to deepen in your understanding of God, you know him more, you respond by saying, wow, I want to live for you. These are four ways that you might respond and you will see in your life. Firstly, knowing God better leads to practical fruits in your life. Bearing fruits. And we talked about that some last week. If you remember the three C's, remember my alliteration there? Conviction. That's a fruit. Hating the sin that you struggle with. Confession. Telling another person about the sin that you're currently struggling with. And conformity. Growing out of it. Knowing God leads to these practical fruits in our lives. Secondly, not just bearing fruits in every good work, but also increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that an interesting thing that Paul has to say there? He prays that they would deepen in their understanding of God so as to increase in the knowledge of God. You see that? Paul's like, I'm just praying that you would deepen in your understanding of God so as to know God better. Paul, what are you talking about? That sounds like a very cyclical train of thought, and it is. And I think Paul intended for that to be cyclical, because I think when you grow in your knowledge of God, you want to grow even more in your knowledge of God. It's a very cyclical thing. As you deepen in your love for God, you just want to be with him more. You ever try to think about that? Make that a reality in your life. Have you ever just had that person where you get to know them a little bit? And Lena and Sarah and I were actually just talking about this the other day, where Sarah meets these people, and she's like, man, I want to be their friend. I really like this person. I want to be this person's friend. You ever have that person where you're like, man, they're just so relatable. I could learn so much from them. I just want to be around them more. I met them once, and it's like, I would love for them to be my best friend. I think about Sarah and I have deep, good friends, deep friendship with incredible people, Isaiah and Malia. We prayed for them, I think it was Sunday night last week or Wednesday, the hard time that they're going through right now. But those two really are people come to mind for me when I think about this. You get to know somebody so as to just want to know them better. I think Isaiah and Malia, for both Sarah and I, getting to know them just made us want to be around them more and to learn from them more, to be like them more, because they're just great examples for us as we look up to them in many ways. And maybe you have those people in your life too, where you get to know them and you're like, wow, I just want to know that person better. I want to be best friends with them. Well, let me tell you, so it is with God in an infinitely greater way. When you get to know God and you start to understand who He is, let me tell you, you will want to increase every single day in your knowledge of Him. This is a fruit of knowing God. You just want to know Him more. Every single day, you just want to grow in your understanding of Him. You want to deepen in your love for Him and your walk with Him. So that's the second thing. Knowing God better leads to, one, practical fruits in your life, but then also, second, knowing Him more, wanting to know Him more. Thirdly, knowing God better, as you deepen in your understanding of Him, leads to a better endurance and patience through hardship. You see that? Starting in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all the endurance and patience with joy. You see that? As you deepen in your understanding of God and your love for Him and your knowledge of Him, as you deepen with Him, a practical outworking of that is that you will be able to sustain and be sustained and endure through hardships in this life. I think about Paul. Paul comes to mind when we think about all the terrible hardships that he had in his life. But man, Paul knew God well. He knew God. And so that's why he could say, yeah, I mean, I'm hit, but I'm never going to be destroyed. I'm never going to be completely struck down and staying down. Why? Because he knew God. As he deepened in his knowledge of God, so also he grew in his endurance through hardships and tough times. As your eyes are set on heaven and on God, the concerns of this world just seem to not hit us as hard. Yes, we grieve. Yes, we're hurting. And many times different things happen. But we endure. We are sustained because we have a deep knowledge of the God who saves us from that and who will endure us through it. We have a deep knowledge of Him, and so we have a deep endurance for the things of this world. That's the third practical fruit. As we deepen in our knowledge of God, so we become better in our patience and endurance through hardships. Lastly, knowing God better leads to more thankfulness in your salvation. More thankfulness in your salvation. We can continue on to verse 12 there. He says, giving thanks to the Father. And that's, I want you to see that part is tied to what he was praying for before. This is all one huge, long, run-on sentence. Let me try to sum up it for you. Since the day that we've heard about your faith in Jesus and your love for the saints, I've not stopped praying for you, asking that you may be filled with a knowledge of His will and understanding of Him so as to walk in a manner worthy of Him. And then he starts listing what that looks like, and we get to this, giving thanks to the Father. This is one way that we walk in a manner worthy of loving God because of our understanding Him better. We're thankful to the Father. Why? Why are we thankful to God for our salvation? You can see as it continues on who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred us from the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As you deepen in your knowledge of God, you'll begin to walk in a manner worthy of Him. And one way that that looks is being more and more thankful for the salvation that you have. And notice what our salvation is described as very quickly. Being qualified when you don't qualify. In yourself, you're not qualified to go to heaven. I hope you know that. In yourself, you are very unqualified to step into God's holy sanctuary. You are, I am, everybody is, but only in Christ do you become qualified to step in His presence. This is salvation. You are delivered from the grips of sin and darkness, the domain of darkness. You're transferred into the kingdom of the holy community of God. This is what salvation looks like. It looks like being qualified when you're not qualified. It looks like being delivered from something that you were once in, the domain of sin and darkness, holding a grip on you. It looks like being transferred out of that into relationship with God. And God says, if you deepen in your understanding of me, you will begin to walk in a manner worthy of me more. And one way that that presents itself in your life is being more and more thankful for your salvation. So thinking about your salvation this morning, I want to turn this unto you in a practical way. As you think about your salvation this morning, this should make you thankful and happy and joyful. There shouldn't be any bored Christians in this room because we're celebrating God. There shouldn't be any Christians that are just hands in their pocket while we're trying to sing about the salvation that we were transferred and delivered. That we're made qualified when we don't actually qualify. We shouldn't be standing there with our hands in our pocket ready for this service to be over, but we should be celebrating. Amen. We should have joyful praises to Him and His mighty works. And so this is my charge for you as we sum up this passage here, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Do not be stagnant, Christian. Brother and sister in Christ, hear me. Don't be content with where you are. Because God's not content with where you are in your growing in sanctification. He wants to see you grow away from sin and into holiness every single day from where you are. He wants to see you deepen in your knowledge for Him. So do not be stagnant, but grow in your holiness. How do we do that? One, you got to know God better. Don't start with practical strategies. Start with knowing God better so to live for Him more. You can live for Him more. You'll start seeing fruits. Four of them, I'll note. You'll start seeing fruits in your life. Conviction, confession, conformity. You'll start wanting to know God more. You'll have more of a stamina through hardships. You'll have a passion in worship. More and more every single day as you get to know who He is more every single day. So if you're a Christian in a rut, let me just talk to you one last time. If you're feeling stagnant, don't walk out of here another day content with being in that rut. Okay with where you're at. Don't do that. Don't do that. Make a commitment today. I'm going to get out of that. I'm not going to be stagnant. I want to be on fire for living for God more today. I want to. Make a commitment to get in His Word, to get alone with God, to deepen in your knowledge of Him. So that you could get out of that rut and live for Him more today than you did yesterday. If you haven't started on this journey, but you want to, something woke up in your soul just sitting here listening to His Word. Today is the day for you to step into that relationship with God. Come pray with me. I'll be right here in the front. Come talk with me. There's so much I want to share with you. But today's the day where you could be qualified when you don't qualify. Where you can be transferred into a relationship with God. So just come talk to me. Come pray with me. I would love to talk through what that looks like. Would you all join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you so much for this time this morning, being with one another, singing your praises and hearing your word. Lord, would it stir something in our souls right now? That even if our souls haven't been stirred up in months or years, for the saint in this room right now, God, would their soul begin stirring and their vigor for living for you be activated? And would we all step out of this room on fire to live for you more because we know you better? It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.